Hey witches, it's Amy from the Missing Witches podcast coming at you with Witches Found. You just heard the Kirtan group Dharati Mata recorded right here at the Missing Witches studio. So of course we had to grab the opportunity to chat with the group's leader, artisan, healer, medicine woman, Annie Lamoureux. Here's my chat with her. Enjoy.
I think medicine woman is the right term. Great. Definitely.
So what does that mean to you?
Well, actually, medicine woman, they're the shaman from North America, actually. Mm-hmm. And even, well, depends where exactly in America, but shaman is from Siberia. And I believe that to be a shaman is someone that heals, that helps healing as well, his surroundings and his community. Yeah.
When you say healing, do you are you speaking more specifically about physical
spiritual healing?
Okay, now talk
Thank
about
you,
that.
Amy.
So talk about like how does one? There's so many ways to heal a spirit. Tell us about your practice, because I know you have a multicultural approach.
Yeah, exactly. Transculturel, actually. Transcultural approaches from different shamanic practices. Mm-hmm. My practice that I develop is the voice and the drumming. That's one of my practices, or tools, actually, that I use.
Right. And how do the tools become practices, then?
That's a great question. How does the tool become practices? Well, it's difficult to explain in words. And whatever is spiritual is not tangible. So it's difficult as well to see when we're talking about spirits or, you know, it's something that is very subtle. But please repeat the question.
How do you, as a medicine woman, help people to connect their minds to their bodies?
Actually, the mind and the body people do connect with. What we want to connect it is with the spirit.
Please go on.
So it's actually, there's different practices like shamanic voyage.
Oui.
Les voyages chamaniques, mm-hmm. par exemple. And in those moments, when you get in a trance, you can receive information from the other world.
In the trance state. Okay, so yes. We see this in voodoo, particularly where the loa come and actually possess the holy person. So that's something that happens in shamanic tradition.
Definitely, but we do not possess. It's like...
It's just the message?
Oui, exactement. We become just a transit. Or like we're the transitor, actually, from the great spirit or whatever you want to call it.
And you do this in many ways. Can you talk about like kirtan versus drum circle and explain what those things are for our listeners who don't know?
Yeah. Well, kirtan is actually when we unite to sing together and these are prayers.
And this is a Hindu concept.
Exactly, mm-hmm. Hindu concept. But basically in all cultures... This is what happens.
Yeah, singing together.
Prayers and mm-hmm. singings, whatever it is, to Mother Earth or to God or to, you know, in all cultures, we have our different prayers that we sing. And this is where we actually also connect with the Great Spirit and connect with the gods and connect with the higher self. This is it.
So in kirtan, you use your voice, whereas in drum circle, the drum is, if I'm not correct, is an extension of the heartbeat.
Exactement, yeah.
So these are all sort of different ways that we can use our bodies to communicate with the...
Definitely.
Yeah.
And especially when we get into a trance mode, for example, the rhythm of the drum is going to be faster. So it's going to be... for us to kind of get into that trance. And you actually go on into the higher world or the lower world. And there's the middle world.
That's interesting. Can you speak on that for a bit?
Yeah, sure. So the middle world is actually where we are standing. You and me, we're in the middle world. He is the dog. Yeah. All humans or spirit that haven't also passed are sitting in the middle world. So there's many things in the middle worlds. There's going to be the spirit of one tree particularly, or the spirit of the wind, the spirit of whatever.
But all the spirit. Middle isn't just the physical realm that we can see. No. Other things exist in this middle realm.
Oh my God, yes. And this is where it can also be dangerous, because you can get caught in the middle world. Spirits can get you in the middle world. So that's why you need to travel very safely with spirit guides and allies. But that's another... So, and then... One of my teachers, the way she explains it is that when we travel into the higher world and the lower world, it's like a house, and there's two doors at that house. So there's in the basement, there's one door that you open, and for example, that would be the lower world. And then there's the first floor door that is actually the same house, but it's a different vibe. So... when you travel higher, actually in the higher world or in the lower world, this is where you can meet the spirit of the whole. So, for example, the spirit of the wolf, but not only one wolf. It will be the spirit of all the wolves living in the middle world.
And so the higher world we can sort of imagine is this like...
There's beautiful ways to see it. And it's very different
for everyone. Sort of like the Western concept of heaven and hell?
No.
Okay, so explain totally the difference. Different. Explain the difference.
Totally different. It's actually, it's your imagination.
So it's about a state of being.
It's more than a state of being. It's a trance state.
But you... seek to live your life in a trance
no,
state,
or you just don't you want visit. To, you visit yeah, okay, to get some right. information,
and then you bring it back healing. To where you are.
There you go. So, for right. example, if I'm with someone and she wants to, I don't know, she has something that she wants to heal, a relationship, she wants to have clarity on a relationship or whatever. So I will go and travel in the upper or lower world, seek information for her, ask allies and get the information, and then I will channel and come back and discuss with her.
Did you choose to be a healer, or do you feel you were chosen? Both. Neither. You always were.
And that's interesting. A shaman is... people will call somebody a shaman. A shaman will never say that he's a shaman.
Right.
So it's the people around him that will say, he's the shaman of the community, or she's the healer of the community. A passage that came very naturally in the travels that I did, especially in Mexico. This is where it started. I've more traveled like in Mexico, mm-hmm. a lot in Latin America.
Mm-hmm.
This is where I met a couple of healers, actually one African man that showed me a way of healing. His way of healing was... speaking to the heart.
Mm.
He was communicating to your heart in a language, unknown language.
Like he would approach your physical body and speak to your heart?
Yeah, exactly. In the back of you, you would be sitting and you would start talking to your heart.
Oh, wow.
That was a very powerful experience. And this man also showed me a lot of different ways of healing.
Yes.
And another woman also in Mexico, Eres Reyes. And I often go and see her because she's one of my...
mentors?
Definitely.
Yes. Can you say her name again just to speak it into the universe?
Eres Reyes.
Oh, what a beautiful name. And so what's your ethnic background?
I am from my dad's side. I am native, mixed blood. My arrière-grand-mère
mm-hmm.
was Iroquoise. Mohawk, and always kind of felt very different. And when I connected with the drum, this is where actually I really, and the drum kind of came to me very naturally.
And this was your first foray into the healing arts?
There you go.
And banging on the drum. I mean, personally, I'm just going to tell our listeners very quickly. I met Annie when she was hosting a full moon.
circle. And I tried her drum once, and I think I immediately went home and sourced one from the indigenous people in my area of Quebec, because as soon as you hit a drum, you know if you need one immediately or not. So, I mean, that was a very, somebody gave you a drum and you just really, that resonated with you.
There you go.
In an incredible way.
Yeah.
Yeah. And you've been on this journey for years now, traveling and learning and teaching.
Yeah. 6-7 years, I think, something like that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And you're also an artisan. Can you tell us about...
Maracatao. Yeah. Well, this also kind of came very naturally. It was just, I had a vision, and the vision, like, was to weave. I wanted to weave dream catchers, and that was really something that, I don't know why, it was a calling. And when I was in Mexico, I met a man who showed me how to weave. And then,
properly. Because I want you to, I mean, we all have seen people with their dollar store dream catchers hanging from their rearview mirror. It's a very different... So, like, tell our listeners who don't know, what's the real story of the dream catcher? What's it meant to do, and why is it sacred?
There's actually different, from different cultures, there's different ways of using the dream catchers.
Mm-hmm.
But it actually, it's a tool of empowerment. And it's also a medicine tool, and it's also a manifestation tool. And it's also a protective tool. So what I can say on that is, whatever intentions are put into a dream catcher, this is what it's meant to be for.
And this is probably true for anything we make with our hands.
There you go.
Or think with our minds.
Exact.
The episode that led me to talk to you as a healer is about Maria Sabina.
Yeah.
Maria Sabina,
she's a
Mexican curandera,
yeah,
who was in equal parts credited and blamed with giving the magic mushroom to the white man.
Mm.
So do you ever take things? Do you eat things, drink them? What are your notions on, I know you do a cacao ceremony.
Mm-hmm.
Do you ever use drugs?
I never use other medicine than the voice and the drum. Once I wanted to go to a peyote ceremony, and we were 2 cars following the curandero, and we were in the back, and we had an accident. So
not your time.
Exactly. So, and right now I'm reading Michael Arner's book. He's the founder of the school in California, shamanic school, transcultural shamanic school. And he's been traveling and using those medicine. But there's other ways, like by the trance, by the drum, by the vibration, by the voice, we can access to those type of...
Yeah. I mean, my thinking is, when I was a kid, we would just eat mushrooms and party. Like, they were just, a trip-out drug.
Mm-hmm.
And so when we were working on this episode, I thought, I haven't taken mushrooms in, you know, 10 years or whatever. And I was like, I'll do it Maria Sabina's way, you know, and try this again, you know. Be honest about what your problem is, and so on and so forth. And the message that I got from the mushrooms was, you don't need us.
That's great.
Honestly, you know, but I can imagine how people who are more calcified, you know, who are more, who don't see that it's all a game or a show or magic. People who don't see magic, that's an easy way to put it. People who don't see magic might need mushrooms to see magic.
To kind of a little kick in the
yeah,
in the spirit.
Exactly. So if you need a kick in the spirit, maybe be careful. Do it with a shaman.
Definitely.
But if you feel you're already somewhat connected, a drum is probably a better tool, you think?
It's so powerful.
Mm-hmm.
It's like one of the most ancient tools used by every different cultures.
Yes.
So there's a lot of power in the drumming.
Yes. And that's something that you do. You travel. You live in a bus.
I do. I live in a bus.
So perfect. Yes. Annie travels around and takes her kirtan. Can you tell us, again, like your various personas that you use? So kirtan is, your group is...
Dharati Mata.
Dharati Mata, yeah, and that's kirtan.
Yeah, that's the kirtan.
And your drum circle is?
The drumming circle. I'm actually right now working on a new project called The Voice of the Soul.
And do you hear that, everybody? The Voice of the Soul.
Yeah, so that's what's calling me right now.
Great.
So kind of developing around the voice of the soul and connecting with that. So the drumming circle will turn into the voice of the soul.
And it'll all become the kirtan. Will...
Do you
like to keep them
the
separate?
Way that I see is, well, in the kirtan, I'm also bringing the drum and chanting some prayers and, But it's I kind of... I have difficulty kind of bringing all together.
Right.
So for me right now, what I see is still like very like the lines, no? Not really lines, but...
But it
comes all together. But
you're not at anywhere near the end of your journey. So I imagine these things will just become more and more synthesized as you carry on.
Definitely.
And evolve and grow.
Yes.
So... My dog's in the room with us, and she keeps threatening to make a sound, so I'm just
and
looking.
And Amy's
to
kind of...
Like,
She's good, she's good.
Yeah.
Bijou's good.
The familiar always comes around. The witch's familiar comes around to let you know the score. Never to take things too seriously. So you mentioned, like, if a client comes to you with, say, you know, a broken heart or something, then you'll go into a trance and you'll receive... the solution or the technique or whatever information that you need to go forward with that.
Yeah.
So,
I wouldn't say client, but it's okay.
Oh, no, then please.
Yeah.
What would you say?
A human being.
Yeah. Your family.
Rarely skepticals will come and see me, that's for sure.
Right. So people they're already ready. Have a certain faith.
They're ready. Yeah. They're ready for that. And even if they haven't received any type of healing that is similar to that, they're ready for it. So, but it's pretty impressive how it has an impact on the short and long term, on the healing and on the path of people.
Yeah.
Why?
I'm going to play a piece of music at the end of this, which is a piece that Annie and I collaborated on a couple a year ago or so. And I wrote the music and Annie improvised the vocals, but it's based on an experience that she and I had with a friend. And I really want her to tell you the story. Because I know my version, but I'm not sure if I've ever heard her version. And then we'll tell you what happened and then we'll play the music.
Well, that's, you know, that's one thing that is difficult for me to come back to this particular place and time, because it's something, you know, the capacity of a healer, man or woman or a shaman, is to be able to be in the state of kind of, un état second, si on veut, like a state of just not... physically being really here.
Yes.
But being, but not, you know? And to come back fast.
Yes.
But whatever happens, like, in this process, it's difficult to kind of go back and seek. But, wow.
Yeah. Because, I mean, the piece of music that I made that Annie sang on top of it definitely wasn't what happened that day. It was just, like, the remembering and emotion.
Yeah. Yeah.
So tell us the facts of it.
Was
the woman and what was her problem?
A mutual friend of ours actually was living in a house at that moment, and she wasn't feeling secure. She was kind of feeling even secure to go outside of her house and kind of being blocked in this vortex, actually. But even the house from outside, everything was shut and everything was covered and it was really intense. And even energetically inside, you felt that something was stagnating and kind of dark and
closed
heavy.
And heavy.
Heavy.
Yeah,
definitely. Mm-hmm. So we decided to, with the drums...
Spur the moment.
Yeah, exactly.
Because, let me just say, Annie and I are very much like this, where somebody's like, I have a problem.
Okay.
And then he and I are like, all right, here's what we're going to do.
Well, let's take action. No, yeah, let's take action. We have the power to take action. So why not do it on the spot when we can?
Thank you. And my great aunt B always used to say, it's better to light a candle than to curse the darkness.
There you go. I love that.
Ding, we love Aunt B. Okay, so she is not even taking walks in her new neighborhood because she's feeling so anxious. Yeah. And she's literally like covered all the windows with like multiple draperies. Yes. Okay, and we decide we have to do something about this. So what did we do?
We actually started to walk with the drum outside the house and circulate around the house and just kind of channeling different voices and sounds and kind of really owning, first of all, owning her body, first of all, and owning the space where she was physically as well. Mm-hmm. And I mean, what happened there?
It was a lot of like breathing, like, but very like loud, like,
primitive,
very primitive. They're not words, no, from what I recall.
I don't think
but
so.
There was like the banging of sticks together. Yes, I don't even think we had a drum. Honestly, I don't even remember having a drum.
We had the two sticks. We had the. You're right. We had the sticks.
We're like, we gotta find something to bang.
Yes, you're right. Oh, that's so good. Wow.
And I remember our friend, you know, pulling up grass and rubbing it on her face and just trying to like take ownership of the whole, like her, like you said, her own body, but also her space and her house and her neighborhood.
And
the neighbors.
Yeah, and we had a lot of, well, I don't know, but we had people passing by and we're just like, this is your place, and this is your house, and own it, and this is your buddy, and like,
because she was like, oh, I see I'm neighbor coming, and we were like,
exactly, you can exist,
you're
and you're
allowed to make noise, and you're, oh, I forgot about that part, madam.
Yeah,
so she started.
She started. But like connecting with the dirt as well, really,
yes,
like
touching dirt.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. And yeah, and I think we finished inside with a fire. No?
We burned the sticks that we had been bashing together, right?
So that was actually a ritual of kind of a
totally impromptu, not something we learned from a book a teacher.
Not exactly.
Yeah. I'm a big fan of that. You know what? The universe is guiding you.
Definitely.
So, you know, say, even when I write spells for other people, I say what you want here, because if you're just saying what I said, then no, you need to put it into your own words always.
Yeah,
you know?
Definitely.
For sure. So the end of the story is, shall I wrap it up for the people?
Please do.
So we had a very intense and our experience, and our goal was to open up our friend and allow her to take ownership of her space. And what ended up happening was her house burnt down and she got a divorce.
There you go. Bam!
So, bam! We won't get into too much of the grimy specifics of that. But, you know, people think that progress means things going right.
Thank you for saying that.
Right?
Definitely.
But healing is not
whatever
one, two, three.
The spirits or universe wants to happen. And it's not always lullaby land, that's for sure.
Sometimes it's going to require a trauma to force you to evolve in a certain way. Again, I never want to encourage people to seek out trauma.
Definitely.
But it definitely seems like a way that we evolve as like human beings.
Yeah.
But I guess my point here is with the medicine woman, be careful what you wish for. Be careful what you pray for, because you might just get it.
Aho!
Thank you so much, Annie, for joining us today. You are a delight and a pleasure, as always. Je t'aime, mon amour.
Moi aussi, tellement!
Okay, now here's some music Annie and I made together. Check it out. We love you.
Enjoy.
Thanks for listening, witches. If you can do one thing to help us find the witches we've been missing, I think the thing that we would ask is to send this to the one witch you know who might like it. We think networks build one by one. So send it to your bestie and let's meet her and let's all meet each other on the internets. Thanks. We love you. Bye.